Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Before we begin, I just want to give a heads up and apologize for the poor quality of sound this week. We ran into some technical difficulties, but we hope and pray that this does not deter you from listening to this encouraging conversation I had with my friend on dating and our season of singleness. Lauren Forsackerly joins us on the pod today, and I am thrilled to have her share her wisdom she's gained from the Lord as she navigates her season of singleness. Lauren and I talk about our desires for marriage, what happens if the Lord says no to those desires, and some fun stories as well. Make sure you also stay tuned until the very end where Lauren prays over you today. Whether you've been single for a long time or find yourself single again, we hope that this conversation will bless you and encourage your heart. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started.
Thank you so much for inviting me to.
Yeah, of course.
Before we started recording, that this is honestly the furniture, at least, and I don't know. It's the ambiance. Like,
it's the lighting. Yeah, exactly. It's the lighting. The candles.
Time for us to actually record ourselves and, with a video, because it's just so cute and homey, and I'm like, literally, we're sitting across from each other on the couch, and I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Welcome to my bachelorette pad. Yeah. So I'm so happy to have you. All the pink, you know. Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh, I wish people could see the happy Galentine's Day.
Yeah, it's gonna be Galentine's Day in here until at least March. So yeah. You're always welcome here. And, you know, prior to getting this space, like, I just prayed that God would give me a place to be able to welcome people into, and people would feel welcome and feel the love of the Lord here and that warmth. And so I'm just happy He's given me opportunity to be able to host people here and to have you here.
Yes. Well, I haven't even said your name yet.
Hi, I'm Lauren.
Yeah. My friend Lauren, and we met at a 4th of July party last year.
Yes.
And it was honestly like kismet and fate for us to meet, and also mm-hmm. with the other girls that we hung out that day. It was mm-hmm. just a confirmation for me to know that I was supposed to be at that church instead of, our church now instead of another church I had gone to. Just because the community was so good.
Yeah.
So I'm really thankful for meeting you and mm-hmm. knowing that we're in the same stage of life. It's been easier for us to kind of like build each other up and encourage one another.
Yeah.
And also pray for one another.
Mm-hmm.
As we're talking about singleness and dating and the promise or not of marriage that God says in the Bible. But yes, so Lauren, I would just love for you to introduce a little bit about yourself to our listeners today who don't know you.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to also say I'm just so thankful that God's given us the opportunity to meet and become friends. You truly are a gem, and it's such an encouragement to see how you use your gifts to glorify the Lord. And we just connected so quickly. I remember after meeting you at the 4th of July party, I thought, we're gonna be friends. We're gonna be friends with this girl, you know. But yeah, I'm Lauren Forsackerly. Let's see, I've lived in Nashville for almost 5 years now, five years this summer. I'm originally from Memphis. I moved around a little bit, but ultimately landed here. A little bit. You want my testimony? I can go into that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was very blessed and fortunate to grow up in church. We grew up going to church. So I heard the gospel from a very early age. And I remember being sensitive to that, and I was probably around 8 years old, and I started to feel this, you know, that tug of the Holy Spirit, and you know that it's Him. And I understood if I died, right now, I would go to hell. I need him to save me. And so I kind of started to feel that a little bit prior to giving my life to Christ. I was still young. I mean, I was still 8, maybe almost 9. But I was at a children's camp affiliated with the church that we were attending at the time. And I just remember going to sleep one night, laying in my top bunk, and I couldn't sleep because I felt that heaviness of the Holy Spirit, that conviction. And I thought, I have to make this right, you know. And so I went to wake up my camp counselor, and I told her I wanted to pray to be saved and ask Jesus into my heart. And so I prayed with her, and then I felt just this joy and just like lightness, and that I knew, okay, I know Jesus, you know. And so that was when I came to know him as Lord and Savior. And of course, there was growth, you know, along the way. I'm very fortunate that, and I'm still growing, we all are, right? And so I'm thankful that the church I was in growing up, I did have godly mentors that poured into me. That made a huge impact on, you know, my spiritual growth. I would say a big marker for me in my spiritual walk was I was 16, again at a camp, and I started to feel the Holy Spirit putting missions on my heart, and I didn't know what that looked like, but I really surrendered it there to the Lord. And long story short, fast forward through college, got my degree in education, became a teacher, and after my first year of teaching, I applied through the network of international Christian schools to teach at a mission school in Brazil. And so, which that's a whole story in and of itself, like getting there and all of that. But I did go teach there for a little over a year, and in that time, I definitely feel like I was there for a purpose, but I started to feel like God put in my heart, no matter where you are, what country you're in, people need Jesus. So there's definitely a place for foreign missions, for sure, but I started to feel like God was calling me back here. And so I came back and taught for a while afterwards. Eventually moved to Nashville, taught for a year here. I currently work as a nanny, so I've been doing that for 4 years now. That's been just a blessing. I love the family I work for. They've been nothing but kind to me, and that's been a huge blessing. So, yeah, that's where I'm at now. I'm 36 years old. I did not think that I would be still single at this point in my life. I always thought I'd be married with children by now. But, yeah, which brings us to the topic of dating. And I also just want to say before we get into that, that I do not have all of the answers to this. None of us, nobody does. We're all just trying to figure this out, and there's God's grace in that. So I know everyone's road and experience with dating has been different. And so I just want to say that up front, that maybe my experience has been different from some of the listeners, you know, and that's okay. But I'd love to share things that, as we discuss dating, things that God has put in my heart or taught me. And I'd love to just point people back to scripture and what God's heart is for dating and marriage.
Which is important, is always to point people back to scripture. And that's like a disclaimer that I usually put as well. And I'm also trying to be better, and I think that as believers, especially you and I are in our 30s, like the older that we get, the more wisdom that the Lord bestows upon us, Lord willing, that like we should, you know, if we have convictions or we believe something that the Lord is teaching us, to stand firm in that.
Right.
But also knowing we're going to mess it up sometimes and not have everything right. And I'm sure I've said some things in a previous episode or written some things in previous articles that, you know, maybe I look back on and say, oh, I wasn't 100% right there. But at least like the heart posture, or people can know, like, okay, well, you know, Lydia has said, or Lauren or other people have said, make sure you go to the Word and you see what God has said to you, and also trust elders and leaders in your own church.
Right.
Which actually, like, before I came here, I was finishing up the episode that Yumi and Lindsay were mm-hmm. talking about with Johnny and then Brandon Wolf from our church, mm-hmm. where they're going into like a dating series mm-hmm. with Johnny's Dial In Ministries podcast. And I was listening to it and I was just thinking, like, this is all really, really good. Like, it is incredible. And also, like, Brandon is for the young adults age group, which, you know, they clarify that, like, that's basically like 18 to 25, 80, 28 or something like that. And
I've aged out of that. Yeah.
But it's interesting just in the fact of, like, okay, like, yeah, there are a lot of young adults who are, and also I still think we're young. So.
Of course we are. Yeah.
It's like, I will forever be but it's also, it kind of doesn't really talk to necessarily the older singles in our mm-hmm. in our group who have been facing or been a part of the season for a long time. And I mean, the truth that they share is for everybody, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. it's not contingent upon if you are only in that age group.
For sure.
For anybody.
Yeah.
But part of me was like, I mean, I really want a single man or a single woman also to talk on this that's in their 30s or 40s, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to be able to share, like, what is it like? What has dating been like for you? What has God taught you? You know, things like that. And which is why, which I didn't even know that Pastor Johnny was going to speak on that or have that episode out this past week. But it's even more prevalent why I think it's great that we're having this conversation now and to talk more about dating in our 30s or the expectations we had. As you said, that you didn't expect to be still, you know, single at age 26. And same with me at age 31. Like, it just wasn't something. I always remember my 10-year-old self had this laid out plan. And I was gonna have 5.
Don't we all?
Yeah,
right?
I was,
yeah.
I was by
yeah.
Just like my mama.
23 seems so old though when you're 10, right? Yeah.
But yeah, you're. I mean, you and I have different backgrounds. When it comes to dating, I've been single my whole life. I've gone on first dates. You have been in relationships, but yeah, just share a little bit about kind of your past with dating and how you kind of view it now, things like that.
Yeah. So I would say majority, I mean, in my teen years and in my 20s, I really didn't date. I mean, yeah. For whatever reason, I think a lot of it is God's protection. Mm. I think also it would just seem like there wasn't anyone I was interested in, and if there was, God would close the door.
Right.
And I also was just, I mean, in my 20s too, I was moving around quite a bit. I mean, I did move to Brazil in that period of time as well, and so I think I also just wasn't in a season of life to be dating. I very much wanted and still want marriage and family, but I kind of was thinking, well, you know, it'll happen when it happens. And I kept thinking maybe by 30, and then 30 came and went, and here's 36, and I'll be 37 in May and still single. And, you know, but that's okay. I mean, yeah, it's been a journey of learning how to be content in the season that the Lord has you in. Has it always been easy? No. Like, there are times that, you know, I've just wrestled before the Lord and asked him, if you don't want this for me, please take it out of my heart.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I've spoke with other women that have shared that same sentiment. I do feel like I've really surrendered it to the Lord, though, and I trust him in that. And so, and I believe if that desire is there, it's for a reason, you know? And so, yeah, I didn't really start dating until early 30s, I guess. I thought, well, you know, I'm not, unfortunately, not really meeting anyone at church or at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I was working in elementary education at the time, too. So, I mean, a majority female field. But I thought, well, I'll try apps, you know, and I tried several different dating apps. That was prior to me moving, right before I moved to Nashville in summer of 2020. And I've been in a few relationships since, you know, starting that. I would say overall, it's been a mixed experience. I think anyone who's tried apps would say there's been good and bad, right? The hard thing is, you know, there's not a mutual connection for someone to vouch for, hey, this is a good person. And I think, I mean, and there is a danger in that too, of like people can just claim to be somebody that they're not, you know. But at the same time too, I think there are really good people on there. And so you kind of have to just weed through and use discernment in that. I don't regret trying it. Because yes, there were some good things that came out of it. And there are things that, when I look back, ways the Lord grew me. And so I don't regret it. But I've definitely come to a place in life where, like, personally, I know I don't think I'd ever use an app again, you know. And I think that's one of those things that's not a right or wrong. I think it just comes down to the individual, what's your conviction about it. And for me, in my heart, I just feel like the Lord said, that's not it for you. And so, you know, if he changes my heart in that down the road, so be it. But I just am really in a place where I just said, Lord, if you want me to be with someone, I need you to just naturally orchestrate it and work it out. And I've always prayed for a marriage that is obviously of him. And so I'm just really trusting for him to come through in that, if that's what he wants for me. And, you know, I do believe that desire's remained in my heart, like I said, for a reason. But I think an important thing to touch on, like you and I were talking about this morning at the coffee shop, was God doesn't promise us marriage. And I know there's probably a 20-year-old girl out there listening to this who's cringing at that. I mean, as you know, I did, especially, I think, as when I was younger too. And yeah, like, I still want to believe that I will get married, and maybe I will, you know, but I have to surrender that desire to the Lord. And God, I mean, in God's word, Paul talks about marriage and singleness both, and holds both in high regard. I think our culture tends to elevate one over the other. And marriage is beautiful and it's good, but singleness is too in many ways. And if we're not content in our singleness, we won't be in marriage. And so it's really important to learn how to be content in our singleness. Also, like we talked about this morning, God knows what it's going to take to sanctify each one of us. So maybe that singleness, maybe it's marriage, whatever it is, he knows what we need. And that's the ultimate goal, is for him to refine us and use us. So I feel like I'm rambling, but let me know if there's anything else you want me to discuss or touch on.
It's everything that you said was, you know, hitting it right on the head. Just important, I think, for everyone to kind of know this. And also know, like, as you said, it's in regards to dating apps, it's to each their own, essentially. You know, it would have been great if we had Bree on here, because she would have been able to talk to us about her experience with dating apps. When I was on there for my own experience of the dating apps, like, I felt like overwhelmed.
Yes.
First of all.
Yeah.
And also, like, because Bumble, I feel like any guy is just going to swipe right on you.
I don't know if they even read the profiles. They just swipe. Like, guys that you swipe right on. Right. They don't swipe right exactly. On you. Like, that's how it goes. Right, it's the Lord's protection, right?
And but because of that result, where, you know, the guys that I may find attractive didn't swipe me back or whatever, or do I only attract, you know, people that I don't find attractive? You know, is am I not, you know, beautiful enough? Or, like, all these questions that I would never have thought of, except unless I'm on that dating app. But, you know, my sister and her husband met on eHarmony, and I even was telling my friend, I was like, well, I think men can still pursue a woman, obviously, through dating apps, because when he found her profile on eHarmony, he literally just shot her straight with, like, all these tough questions. Like, what are your political values, and what are your Christian values? Like, what do you believe in? And he even asked him the questions, like, what are your thoughts on X,
Love Y, that. He didn't beat around the bush. No.
And he was, you know, older. He's in his 40s now, but anyway, he's like, I'm not messing around. And it's kind of like that guy that our friend told us on the Galentine's Day party. He's like this man who's 40 years old, and, you know, people always, he's like, ask him, like, why are you still single? He's like, I just haven't met her yet. I'm not going to waste my time with someone just to, with someone I know is not it. And I was like, wow, you don't really hear about men like that. But as we also talked about at the Galentine's Day party with Libby, our friend who is married, and talked to us about her story, that, you know, I think we all prefer, you know, that we meet them in person.
Right.
That it is organic and that we can, because honestly, I feel a lot more comfortable, or if I can meet someone, and like, I can know immediately if we had got, like, good chemistry or not in terms of conversation-wise.
Right.
Like, with some men, I feel like it's pulling teeth trying to talk to them, and other men is like, wow, you're so easy to talk to. It's amazing. Like, I don't have to do all the work, and that's what it feels like sometimes. But yeah, I mean, as we said, it's kind of like to each your own, but also like, kind of track, for those who are on dating apps, like, kind of check yourself to see.
Right. Totally agree.
That, like, is it bringing negative feelings, or is it actually?
Well, and that's kind of the point, too. It came down for me. I mean, I did have a conviction that I just needed to leave it. But I started to notice within myself, something about this doesn't feel good. It just felt, and I don't even know if this is the right word, but just being on there felt icky, or maybe not feel good about myself. And sometimes, too, honestly, and I'm sure there are women who do this, but I can only speak from, I can't speak from the man side of things, but I think sometimes too, men, if they're not godly men, they just feel this freedom on apps to be able to say whatever they want to say. And it also doesn't feel like a very safe space in a lot of ways. And to your point too, it just feels better to meet someone naturally or and organically and see if you have a connection with them. But again, I mean, I know people too who, sorry about the siren. I know people too who have met on apps and gotten married and it all worked out. So again, it's, you know, that's my personal conviction that I feel like I need to leave them alone because I know how it makes me feel. And it doesn't feel like it draws me closer to the Lord. It feels like a distraction to me. And sometimes it feels like, yeah, I just feel like I'm putting my attention where it doesn't need to be. Yeah. Now, does that mean that in the season that I tried them that I regret that? No, I'm glad I tried it. But yeah. The season I'm in now is I don't feel like I need to be doing that anymore.
And also there's something to be said that like people just don't know how to interact with the opposite sex in public anyway.
I know. Yeah. Well, I wonder sometimes too if men are afraid to approach because, you know, they're like, oh, I don't want her to think I'm creepy or you know, oh, I don't know. Sure.
Honestly, I feel like I have really good conversations with people sometimes over text, but then in person I clam up a little bit, even though generally I do well with conversation. But
I think you're a great conversationalist.
You can see the inside of my brain sometimes.
Girl, like, me too. I understand.
Like, trying to keep this conversation flowing, whether it's with a woman or a man. I just like with some
people, you do great.
And it also, like, COVID has something to do with it too. Like, things, people became less sociable and more anxious in terms of being around people and carrying on a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And people will avoid each other. Like, they'll pretend they have a phone call just to not
have to talk to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Driving past them on the street, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be on my phone, but I also, like, do not.
But this feels awkward. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So it's actually I read or listened somewhere about how. No, I read somewhere in a book that said, like, maybe the meaning of marriage of that we were talking about,
right.
That, like, a professor had a class to where they actually, one of the assignments is, like, go ask someone on a date. Just, you know, try and get out of your bubble and, you know, get over your anxiety or fear of X, Y, and Z. Just, you know, go ask someone out, and even if it's just, like, a friend date or something with the opposite sex, just get more comfortable talking to people. Because I do think that because men and women are opposites, like sometimes we just have, especially in the church.
Yeah.
And there's the fear of, because I think in how we grew up with the purity culture and things like that, there was a little bit of like fear of like, oh, if I talk to this girl or guy, then they're going to think I like them. But it's like, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ first. We should want to encourage one another and obviously set up boundaries and making known to them like, hey, you're my friend and things like that if you don't like them. But to move past that, instead of just ignoring them and saying, oh, I don't want them getting the wrong idea, so I'm just not going to talk to them at all. And that's not biblical either.
Right. Yeah. I think some of that too sometimes comes from that pressure of asking ourselves too soon, is this person the one? I think some of that, I think there were good intentions in purity culture, but I think it put a lot of pressure on us, or it did in my mind, of, you know, when I was very young, looking at dating, of early on being so afraid. I think I was very fearful of dating because I was so afraid I was going to date the wrong person or date someone I shouldn't date. But I mean, that was an immature view of it, and that's the whole point of dating, is to see if we're a good match with someone, you know. And we have to talk to people to know that, and be open to conversations, and lean into the Holy Spirit for His guidance, because building a relationship with someone is not, it's not black and white. A lot of times, you know, we need the Holy Spirit's discernment and leading each and every step of the way in dating, because even if it starts with, oh, this feels right, the Lord's leading me in this direction, if at any point He shows you otherwise, you have to be willing to pivot with that. And so, you know, there's always this, oh, I'm afraid to date because I don't know if this is the right one. Well, we're not, you're not going to know that for a while. You know, that's the whole point of dating. And so I think we also have to extend grace to ourselves, and we're not going to do it perfectly. And we also just really, for me, it's been a process and learning to trust the Lord more and to let His Holy Spirit lead me step by step in the process, because I don't know what the outcome will be. And that feels scary when your heart becomes entangled in something, or in something, and you don't, which again, like setting up boundaries and that kind of thing helps to protect ourselves. But when you do like someone or have feelings for someone, yeah, it feels scary to not know what the outcome will be. But I find a lot of comfort in knowing that God's sovereign will is always done. We have choices along the way. God gives us free choice. How our choices and His sovereign will work together, I don't understand. I know those are biblical things. So we have choices. God's sovereign will is done. Those things run parallel through Scripture. How they it's not my job to reconcile how they intersect, and I won't understand that until heaven. But there's peace in knowing that even if I make a mistake, His sovereign will, He's still going to work it out how it should be done. It says in Job 42 verse 2, Job responds to the Lord and he says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours is thwarted. God's plans cannot be thwarted. I think a lot about Psalm 16 as well, verses 5 and 6. It says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. So what God has for me is for me. He's going to protect that and keep that safe. Sometimes do we take the long way to get there? Maybe. But ultimately, God's will is going to be done. And I think about, you know, the Israelites. It was supposed to take them, I don't want to get this wrong, I feel like it was supposed to take like 10 or 11 days for them actually, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But because it took so long for God to get Egypt out of them, it took 40 years. Yes. And I think that's often the case with us too. Maybe it takes a little longer because of the process that God is working in us. But ultimately, His will be done.
Yeah. And kind of going back to your point about, you know, the hard truth of we're not promised marriage is, it's just, it's such a shame. I think that when I was younger, you know, I had such an idol in wanting to get married, and I thought it was such a godly pursuit, and it is.
It is, yeah.
You know, marriage, as I mentioned to you earlier when we were at the coffee shop, I was just kind of saying how, you know, an actual, like an earthly marriage is just a placeholder for what will happen when we are married to our bridegroom Christ as the church. And, you know, actually when we're single, it is also that same picture, because we are saving ourselves up for him. And if our satisfaction doesn't come from him alone, as you said, like, it's not going to be satisfied in another man or another woman. Mm-hmm. If a man's listening, you know, it's like, we are only going to be satisfied in him. And it's just, we're actually not going to be, there are going to be a lot more problems that would arise up in marriage if we make the person, our spouse, to be in the same place as God or even above
right.
him.
And absolutely. So
it's just, I think, like, what's hard, especially when I was a youth group leader, a lot of what I talked about with the women in my small group, asking them, like, what's your desire? What do you want to do when you graduate or things like that? They're like, oh, I want to get married young. And I was like, I understand that might happen in your life. Mm-hmm. But part of me my heart broke for them because I had that same desire.
Mm-hmm.
But no one told me
at
that time that might not happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think a lot of my church was shocked when, you know, I graduated from college, or even years after that, or even still now, that they're probably still shocked. Like, I think it's like a compliment, but also kind of hurts sometimes. Be like, I can't believe you're not married yet. I'm like,
I know, I understand.
But that also, they never would have expected this from me. And they all thought that I'd probably find my husband in like 0.3 seconds when I got mm-hmm. to college or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that compliment from them it uplifted me at first, and then it just kind of crushed me more and more, because I'm like, what is wrong with me that
you weren't meeting this expectation?
Yes.
Like, that
why are there no men who are pursuing me? And if they are, they're the wrong man. I am so thankful that God has protected me, that I never wasted time with, you know, I never strayed from my values of, like, I want to be with a Christian man, because a lot of the men who did hit on me was, I went to a liberal arts school, so mm-hmm. when they liked me, it was, they were not believers.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was so tempted to be like, well, I just want to go and, you know, and what's the harm in just dating? But I knew the harm of what that could be.
Yeah.
But I wish
there was wisdom in that. Yeah.
Thankfully. Oof. But like, I wish as someone in my church had told me, hey, are you going to be okay if the Lord says you're not going to get married or like at all, or maybe later until you're, I don't know, in your 30s, 40s, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And if they had asked me that when I was in high school, I mean, I would have been like, well, that's not going to happen to me. And but I would hope that I would have had some godly women in my life who'd be like, well, I think that you should like address that with the Lord, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
are you good to be single for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not excited about that, how can you change that mindset? And I think in my singleness, I was very thankful to have rid the idol of marriage and things like that, and you know, because it really did come from a selfish place. Like, I really wanted my husband to like do all the work for me in my faith walk, but I was mm-hmm. like, no, I've got to put in the work. I've got to love mm-hmm. God more than I love this man and
mm-hmm.
whoever he may be, if he actually exists. But in the meantime, I've asked the question, like, Lord, what do you want me to do today for you? Or how do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to be a part of your will to advance your kingdom? And because of that question, I think it's kind of the same true for you, that you have been able to move to different places and go and serve as a missionary, as a teacher overseas in inner city or whatever, and actually go to places that you probably would not have been able to mm-hmm. if you were married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you weren't tied down. You were able to actually
right.
have these experiences because you're single. You have more freedom to do that. And I think that there's, you know, obviously, I think that there are some people who are like, well, you can do that with your husband. I'm like, yes, maybe, but also maybe not. Because once you, if you have the blessing to have a child,
mm-hmm.
then you have to put in your child's in perspective as well.
Right.
Like, a part of that plan. So it's like, but if you're single, you only have the worries about the Lord.
Right.
When you're married, you
mm-hmm.
have the cares and worries about your husband and spouse and your kids
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So.
Yeah. I think there's so much wisdom in what you just shared. And I would just echo in saying, I would challenge women who are struggling in singleness to look at the joys they have, the blessings. I mean, that's helpful for me to look back and see what are things that I've been able to do that God's given me opportunity to do that maybe I wouldn't have if I was married, you know? And yeah, I still long for marriage, but I'm really grateful for the things that God's given me opportunity to things to do. And I think having a heart of gratitude helps with a lot of things, you know, helps to keep our attitudes in the right place. if we're intentionally grateful and look at the blessings, all the blessings we do have. And there's going to be hard in every season. There are hard things in singleness. There are blessings in singleness. And obviously I'm not married, but you know, for friends that are and people I know who are, yeah, they have blessings in marriage that I may not have as a single person, but they also have some responsibilities that I don't have right now. And so I am freed up more in my time to serve in ways that maybe someone who's married would not be.
Another day, another Lids pick. You have to know before I start that anything I share is not being sponsored by these companies, but solely because I believe in these products and have seen the best results firsthand. And I have indeed found the best results with this new product, Jolie Skin Co. Jolie is a filtered shower head that will literally change your life like it did mine. For the last few years, I have struggled with hair loss and getting my curls back to what they once were. This past year especially, my hair would just fall limply without any life to it, and I resorted to using heat constantly to bring any kind of style to my hair. What I thought was a hormonal imbalance actually turned out to be an issue with my water. After being soaked in the rain a few weeks back and seeing my hair turn the curliest it had been in years, I contemplated whether the water in my shower was to blame for part of the damage done to my hair. I found Jolie online, saw that it had such rave reviews, and with the 10-day free trial, I thought, what's there to lose? Absolutely nothing. After only using the shower head once, my hair came back to life, y'all. The curls are back and my hair looks better than ever. And not only does it help with your hair issues, but it's been known to help those with acne problems and eczema. Although I don't have many problems in that area and can't guarantee the results, I can guarantee that you won't regret trying that 10-day free trial just to check it out. So go to JolieSkinCo.com, that's J-O-L-I-E SkinCo.com to start your research and shopping today. Now, let's get back to the show.
Time well. I mean, you host a women's Bible study every other Monday at your place, and I've finally been able to go. And
we're so glad to have you. Gosh, yeah,
it was so sweet. I'm like, okay, I'll sacrifice my sleep for this. So, because we're going through the Book of Ruth, and it's been, I think, really kind of sweet to even see that story, and you know, of a faithful woman who is a part of Jesus' lineage and all that stuff of redemption from a foreign woman with foreign gods, but marrying someone who also was a son of a prostitute. And so, I don't know, it was just really cool to get into that. But all that to say is, like, you've used your singleness well, and you are such an encouragement to other women in similar seasons. And even in how you nanny these kids, I'm sure is a great, I mean, that's a mission field right there as well. And just, you know, that you're able to show them love and truth and things like that. And so, you know, our singleness is not wasted, but if we're not doing anything except for pining after someone who may not even exist, then that is a waste.
And that's a miserable, it's a waste, and it's just a miserable existence. There's no joy in that. If, you know, I don't want to be that woman that's just miserable because I'm just pining after, oh, I'm not married yet, or, you know. And so God's been so kind to bring so many wonderful women into my life here in friendships, and has given me opportunity to host. And I'm really so grateful, and I've asked him to use the time that I have single. And, you know, I just want my life to matter for the kingdom and for him to use me. And that doesn't start at marriage.
Yes.
You know, if I waited until I got married to serve him, or any one of us, we've wasted so much time. And that's not to say if any one of us has wasted time, like, God redeems and he restores, and he can make a testament and a testimony out of that. But it's just, yeah, it's, I would say, I would challenge anyone listening, look for the joys that God's given you today as a single, and look for ways that he may be calling you to serve right now. Maybe this is a season of singleness he's given you because there's something specific he wants you to do that you can't do later if and when you're married.
I mean, I don't think that I would have started my business. I've said this before, like, if I was married, because I think that at the, you know, if I got married at 23, like I wanted at the latest, then I'm sure that I would have been popping out kids like my mama did. And so my concerns, as I said, would have been like raising a household. And if the Lord had even put something in my mind to start this magazine, I'd be like, with what time, Lord?
Right.
But now I think in this, I've been working on this for 5 years now, and that the Lord has been, I don't know, gracious to me and helping me also learn, like, hey, I have a full-time job, but I'm also doing this and learning time management and learning how I can, you know, how I rely on the Lord to give me energy and strength when I'm just so beat from working what feels like 24 hours a day. And so, but also just being so exhausted that I have to make sure that I fall asleep or at a reasonable time or X, Y, Z. I think there's some fruit in, with all of this being said, as a single woman, and if, you know, it is a desire in your heart, it's a desire on mine, it's probably a desire on many women's, and that I don't think God is going to withhold that blessing from many of us. I think that he's called many of us to be single for a while, but maybe not forever. But ask yourself, what can I also do to prepare myself for my future husband?
Right.
And I think that's a good practice whether you're going to get married or not.
For sure.
Our future husband is Jesus. So, like, how do I want to become more like him? How do I want him to refine me so that I can be a better wife? You know, and for me, right now, I'm through the book of Proverbs, and I'm learning a lot of things that I think is going to hopefully add wisdom to my life. And it's also been convicting me a lot, because a lot of what Proverbs is talking about is how a tongue can be life-giving, or it can also bring death, and that God hates a lying tongue. God hates the gossiper, because a gossiper is like just causes destruction and can end friendships. And I've been so convicted of that lately, and also in terms of making sure to keep the peace and not being hot-tempered. I want to make sure that I do not gossip, because that is honestly a sin of women, and not just women do it, men do it as well, but it stemmed all the way back from Eve with Satan as the snake. The snake was questioning her, it's like, did God really say, you know, that's like gossiping about the character of God in a sense, and that just was from the very beginning, that has been an issue with women for millennia. And so I know that for me, is like, I actually am disgusted by it now, and especially with the recent thing where I was gossiping about someone who I actually dearly love. And I felt so gross about how I talked about her afterwards, because I treated her like nothing happened, and but something did. And I still even question, like, should I bring this up when I know it's going to hurt her? But I know that I've even asked for forgiveness to those who I talk badly about her with. You know, I apologize to my mom, I apologize to someone else, I'm like, hey, I am so sorry that I talked badly about her and probably formed an opinion about her that is not accurate. Yes, she has, you know, bugged me in certain things, but I should have addressed it with her in person instead of being like, I can't believe she did this. And, you know, and so all of this is to say that I can see where God is convicting me and showing me of like areas that need growth. And that's why I'm like praying to the Lord, like, Lord, help me to be better with my tongue, that I only speak peace, that I only speak life, that I do have, you know, more patience if someone wrongs me or hurts me, or where I want to lash out. And there are areas in my life where I know that I tend to be a little bit more angry when I lose control over something, or when someone wrongs me, or, you know, someone wrongs another person that I dearly love, like that anger and bitterness wants to come out. So in this time, I was like, okay, Lord, clearly this is, you know, is a reoccurring thing, and I don't like this. Thank you for shedding the light on this areas that I struggle with. Help me to overcome this, so that when, if I do join with my future husband, that I will not talk badly about him when we're married, that I will not gossip about him, and if he upsets me, that I go to him instead, and that we can have these calm conversations, which I'm sure it's not always going to be the case, but
we're human. We're human.
But it's like, I want to be better for him, for his sake, and if not just for his sake, for my own sake. Because I think it's, I don't know, like, it's sanctification. We're becoming more like Jesus. So that's also something to think about. Is like, how do you honestly see yourself now? And it's not to bog anyone down for like, I'm not saying you're a horrible person. Do you honestly see yourself as the best version of yourself now, or like the most Christ-like? What are some areas? And that's just a true statement. Even if I, like 10 years down the line, I'm still going to be struggling with something. I'm still.
Oh, we all are until heaven. Yeah. I mean, it's a constant, but there should be that desire within us to want to more and more be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Yeah. You know, and if we don't have that desire, then we need to really check ourselves. Yeah. If there's nothing in us that wants to be more like Jesus. Yeah. And that's a constant, you know, that's a journey. Until we go to heaven.
Yeah.
I was thinking as you were talking to just about, you know, we've been in the book of Ruth, and it actually doesn't say anything in the book of Ruth about her physical appearance or her beauty. And, you know, some women in the Bible, it does talk about their beauty, which maybe Ruth was beautiful, but we don't know. But what we do know is that Boaz noticed Ruth for her character.
Yes.
So I think that's another thing that I've thought about, is I also need to be developing the character that a man of God would want in a future spouse, because I would want him to notice those things in me. And that's not to say that I want those things just because, oh, hopefully I'll get a good husband. Yeah. You know, those are things we should be cultivating in our lives, whether we're single or not, because we haven't, you know, we have relationships with family and friends, and we need to be shining the light of Jesus in all of those, you know. And so, you know, either way, we need to be growing in our relationship with Christ. But I just was thinking about that as you're talking to you about how Boaz, a godly man, noticed the character of Ruth. Yes. And it doesn't mention anything about physical appearance or anything like that.
Which is great that you've mentioned that. I mean, there is the element, because when I listened to Johnny's podcast and where he was talking with Brandon about, you know, that there is an element of chemistry that does have to play into play.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to be attracted to that person, obviously.
Yeah.
That's all going to go away in the future anyway. But that's also to say, like, the person who's going to find that person beautiful is going to be that's her or his spouse, you know?
Right. Because you know them for who they are, too, and not just what they look like. And I agree, there needs to be some sort of chemistry when we initially meet someone. If you're just completely not attracted to someone, it's probably not going to work. But it's not the top thing, you know, and we have to remember that that does fade.
Oh, totally. But it's, I mean, going in terms of also what we're looking for in a man, I think that sometimes people do tend to hyper focus on the very little details, where I honestly don't think at this age of my life, now that I've grown and matured a little bit, like sometimes there are some things like you want because you think it'll be compatible with your lifestyle as well. But I know that in the grand scheme of things, I really care more about character traits. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to look like, but I know that he's going to love Jesus more than me. So I guess in light of that, with your hope of being desiring marriage, and also others who are listening who are, you know, hoping for that as well, and they're entering in the dating scene, whether it's through apps or whatever, do you think that the qualities that you look for in a man now are different from what you looked for in a man 10 years ago, and what are those qualities now?
I would say that I'm more refined in specifically what I'm looking for and what's important as far as those character traits. I think probably in my early 20s, it was a little bit more, I wanted someone who was a believer and shared the same faith, but I think I was a little more vague on what that looks like, or what I would look for in a godly spouse, a godly leader. So I'm a little bit more refined, I think, what that would look like for me. And I would say, yes, back then I probably was more worried about, I still wanted to marry someone godly, but I placed more emphasis on looks versus what I do now. But the thing is, like, I would want to be attracted to my future spouse as I would want him to be attracted to me. I don't want him to find me unattractive. You know, it would suck. but yeah, you'll do. All right. But it has, it's changed. And I think some of that comes through wisdom as we grow in our faith, and some has come through dating experience that I've had. And I would say, I mean, first and foremost, obviously this sounds cliche, but I want someone who loves the Lord, you know, because as a woman, this is something that men don't really need to think about in dating. But as a woman, I have to think about, is this someone that I can trust to lead me? Because biblically, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, but I can't feel safe to do that unless my husband's under the leadership and submission of the Lord. Is he praying about decisions that he makes, you know? Or if we hit a hard time with like health or finances or whatever, you never know what will happen in life. Can I trust him to be steady in his character? Can I trust him to stay? Can I trust that I can support the decisions that he's making, knowing that he's going to the Lord? You know, because if I can't trust my future husband, if I can't trust that he's going to the Lord, how can I biblically submit?
Yeah. You know, like, obviously it's important. This is a given too, also a cliche, as you said. But it's like to look to the Bible and what it says. And I'm in my season of where I'm in the book of Proverbs right now. I'm actually also fasting. And with my fasting, I'm like also reading this book called 31 Prayers for Your Future Husband. I'm sure a lot of people know about it, but it's my first time reading it. And I think that I had, as I mentioned to you before, like I had been scared about asking specific or like praying specifically for my future husband. I felt it was selfish. I felt like I wasn't actually trusting God and his timing. And, you know, but God cares about our prayers.
He does.
He cares about us talking to him about what we want and desire. And, you know, even if it doesn't ever come true, at least I am bringing it up to the Lord. But even with this book of 31 Prayers for My Future Husband, it's actually helped me through the reading also of Proverbs and Scripture of what I'm looking for a man, you know, and also what I'm hoping that he's strong character of. Like, is he protecting his heart? Is he protecting his mind?
Right.
Is he good with money? Is he
hardworking? Yes, that's important. That's Can he provide for a family? Yes. And that's not saying he doesn't need to be rich, but is he willing to do what he needs to do to provide for a family?
Yes. Yeah. And I had just read in Proverbs 13:7, those who act rich will come with nothing, will end up with nothing, and those who act poor will have abundant wealth. But anyway, that honestly rings so true for me, because I was like, I mean, if we act as though we have nothing and we save up more money, then we're actually able to leave an inheritance for our kids and be able to even provide for their education, if that is a possibility, so that they can stay out of debt, and just being really wise with that. And that's also in Proverbs, like leaving an inheritance and things like that. And so it's like, those are the things that I want my future husband to be like. And yes, there are some things where I would love to homestead, and I would love my husband to want to have that.
Me too. Yeah. I want to live on a ranch.
Yeah, like maybe a horse or two. Yeah. Like being able to enjoy that. But I may not get that. That may not be God's best for me if we have that. And I just came to terms with that the other day. I was like, shoot. I may not have that man.
But you never know. Maybe.
Yeah. But I also want to find a man whose mission is similar to mine, or at least that we are compatible with what we're doing for his mission field, so that we can, you know, support one another the best way that we can.
Yeah. You're walking in the same direction. You have to be walking in the same direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. We're not discouraging people from getting married, obviously.
Obviously not. No. We're just saying things that we, that we look for. And, you know, one of the things I pray for too, I was thinking about when you were talking about specific things, I've asked the Lord for a husband who has a sense of humor, but also knows like when it's time to be serious, because I think it's so important. There are a lot of things in life that are really heavy, and I think it's important to be able to just laugh about things sometimes. But obviously not everything's a joke, and there are times that we do need to be serious and have depth. And so I would love to, if God provides me with a husband, to be with someone who has joy and can see funny things in life's situations, but also knows when it's time to be serious and has depth too, and too, you know what I mean? And a spiritual maturity.
Yeah. And has just like a tender heart.
A tender heart. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just as a given, like women are just a little bit more emotional than men are.
And, yeah.
And sometimes there are men who shy away from that. And so it is, would be great to find, you know, a husband who will have that shoulder for that I can cry on. And like you said, that I feel safe and I don't feel belittled for showing my emotion or things like that. And, yeah, that's just an important quality. I think there are a lot of great things that, you know, the more we're talking, the more I'm like, oh, yeah, this would be great. And now I feel like we're just kind of describing Jesus. but so we're going to obviously be with an perfect man.
Yeah.
And just, like, I think realizing, too, what we also talked about this morning and what I encourage everybody who listens to read is The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller.
It's a very good book. Yeah. And it, well, like we talked about this morning, it's very, it talks about the goodness of marriage. There's so much good, but it also takes kind of the, I hate to use this term, but like, I don't know how else to say it, the magic out of it, or like the Disney princess kind of ideas out of marriage. It's very, I guess it's very realistic in a good way.
Yes.
It's an encouraging book, but I feel like it's also very grounding in the perspective.
Yeah. Which is something that, you know, I'm not sure who's going to listen to this podcast episode, but those who maybe serve in the church or are part of the church, well, I hope you're part of the church, but like those who have kind of an ability to speak to younger adults or just the church in general of like being open and real about marriage as much as possible, because, you know, at least with my own church, like we never talked about sex. We never talked about like how hard it is to actually be married. So when people did start getting married, I think there was a lot of trauma that came with it, especially like, you know, people were scared to have sex when, you know, they felt dirty when they had sex. It's important to talk about because it's something that God created. And why would we ever shy away from those conversations? And also being real with like when two sinful human beings come together, there's going to be hardships and trials. It's not going to be sunshines and daisies. We're going to struggle and we're going to be hurt. As, you know, Tim Keller said, my wife knows I'm selfish because I'm selfish to her. I've been insensitive to her. And I was like, oh, that hurts. But yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm probably going to be the same way to my future husband.
Right.
He'll see a lot of my anger. And that doesn't feel good, but it's the reality of it.
Yeah. I think I want to say it was Tim Keller too that talks about when you get married, your spouse is just like standing in front of a mirror of yourself, because there are so many things that we do maybe as singles that we don't know might bother someone else if we're married, you know. I think that's too another reason why, obviously it's different from having a spouse, but why accountability is so important. I mean, that's another thing that I would want in my future husband. And that's not to say he has to have 10 best friends, but maybe just a couple of guys that are godly men that he can trust and go to. I mean, I'm so grateful that I have godly women in my life that God's given me to call me on stuff and be like, hey, that's stupid, or not, you know, in a loving way, like, because I love you, we think you shouldn't do that, or, you know, but lovingly point me back to scripture, or I know if I want the truth, I'll call them and say, hey, what do you think about this? Because I know in love, even if it hurts to hear it, they're going to tell me the truth. And that's really loving, you know, and it's important to have that. And I'm not sure exactly why. I do feel like a lot of men struggle a little bit more with finding that connection. I think women typically tend to congregate more and cultivate relationships kind of naturally. And maybe some of it's cultural because men are taught to kind of not be vulnerable and things like that. But I think it's so important for men to have, at least just like women, just like me, you know, to have a couple of godly guy friends that they can go to and say, hey, man, what do you think about this? I mean, because even in marriage, I would want him to have those men to go to of like, what do you think about this? Maybe even in the marriage to get advice, you know, and it just stays between them. But scripture talks about it's important to have wise counsel and to seek wise counsel. And if we don't have anybody else to talk to about things, you know, it's hard to navigate. I mean, and if you're in a fight with their spouse. And that's not to say that you share everything with everyone. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's important to be able to seek wise counsel from other people.
And, like, learn how, or maybe even get the courage from them to be like, hey, you should talk to your husband about this.
Yeah, for them to point you in the right direction in scripture. Be like, hey, well, you need to go talk to your husband, your wife about this.
Yeah. But what you were talking about, too, about, you know, that it could be cultural and why there's not a lot of accountability for men these days, I think is kind of also leads into the question, too, of what we've talked about also many times, of why we think maybe there are more single people than it feels like ever before. You know, our parents' generation, they're
just a different generation now.
I feel like it's increasingly hard for us to actually more and more people who are married, and a lot of people, even some well-respected preachers, have thought that it's just because we idolize singleness, and I don't think that's
true. I don't think that's it. I know so many wonderful women who desire, they'd be wonderful wives and mothers, but yet they're still single, and I don't think it's... And I would say most of the people I know who are single don't want to be single, to be honest. No. So I don't think, I'm not saying some people don't idolize it, but I don't think that's the overall arching issue.
Yeah. So what do you think it is then?
I think it's a lot of things. I think, again, like we talked about this morning, we touched on a lot of things this morning at the coffee shop. There's a lot of things embedded in culture and our music and our movies of what romance looks like, or what we think it should look like. I think also apps have had a negative impact in a way of people don't seem as intentional with each other anymore, because it's, oh well, I'll just swipe on the next one, I'll match with somebody else, and it's a loss of intentionality. I think another thing would be, maybe, I don't know if it's a misunderstanding of what biblical and masculinity and femininity looks like. I think there's a lot of, I mean, culturally, a lot of feminization of men and women stepping into more masculine roles. So culturally, there's a lot of things that don't align biblically. But I know I've talked with, you know, women too that find, I mean, I know I can speak for myself. I've been single for so long. There is a part of you that starts to step into like a little bit of a masculine energy because you have to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have, granted, like, yes, I have family and friends. Like, it's not that I don't have people I can call on, but I don't have a husband that's my protector in my household. I have to do a lot of things on my own. And so, and I think too, just in, yes, I've had positive experiences in dating, but there are a lot of men out there too who want to take advantage of women. And I think that causes women to step into this masculine energy of, well, I don't know if I'm safe with this person in dating, so I have to have up this wall.
Yeah.
And I've heard other women talk about how that turns men off to girls. But I think men need to have some understanding in that sometimes we have that wall up because it's a defense mechanism that we've had to have.
Yes.
And we need men to step up and pursue. You know, we don't want to be in that masculine role or energy, but we need to have men who are pursuing us in a way that we feel safe to where we can let down that guard.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not here to bash men. I know women are not doing everything right either. I'm just here speaking from the perspective of a woman.
Yeah, which is needed. Yeah, it's something that my other friend and I have talked about too, is like all of this kind of encompassing like what the media is showing. It's like a very clear tactic of the enemy, that there is a lot of spiritual warfare going on that we don't even know about. And it's because, you know, Satan's doing a really good job of attacking the family unit, and, you know, already trying to pervert things that are supposed to be like a nuclear family should be. But he's doing all that he can to try and mess it up. But he sees strong men and women of faith, and he doesn't want them getting married because he knows they're we're just going to produce more strong than men and women.
What's the scripture in Psalms about children being arrows in your quiver? He doesn't want more, strong Christians, believers, arrows to be produced. I think you're 100% right. I think it's there is an attack of Satan on the family.
Yeah. So that's one of the things where I think that we are actually needing to be. I don't want the message version, but we need to actually actively pray against that, because if also, like I said earlier, is like I was too afraid to pray because I didn't want to seem selfish. So anyway, that's not. I was going to try and find it, but what I think is important is that we always need to be on guard and realize that there's spiritual warfare going around us 24/7.
For sure.
We got angels fighting on our side, but there are demons who are trying to make sure that we never see the true potential.
Our war is not against flesh and blood. Yeah.
And that also kind of goes in hand. It's like, well, but it's God's will, so he can do whatever. It's like, yes, but again, mentioning the fact that God desires for us to pray. And the whole idea with fasting, too, is that there were outcomes that came because people fasted and interceded for their people or for things. Like, it's because the Lord was attentive to their
prayers. He wants us to pray. He wants us to come to him. He's a good father. And a good father wants his children to come to him and to ask.
Yes. But with all that being said, like, we do want to make sure that we are a praying people. And I think that I have definitely seen the fruit of what it looks like to pray intentionally. Mm-hmm. And before we end so we're going to end our time with prayer. But before we do that, I also just want to encourage everybody. Lauren's not the social media type necessarily.
I debate about deleting it all the time. So it's probably not the best way to reach me.
But it's so funny because I'm like, I enjoy following you for the small posts that you do, because the last post I think that I remember seeing was when your time in Japan, which was really cool. But you know, I think it's great that I told you this earlier, it's like, I think it's great that there are some people who are just not on there at all, and that they have a, you know, from what I can see, a good relationship with social media where it doesn't run their lives.
I just know my own spirit, and I know, like, it's not good for me to be on there all the time, so it's just more for me,
You've got a good discernment with that, which is why I'm doing a media fast, because I did not have that discernment, but for all that, for those who want to know where they can find Lauren, she's going to have an article that's going to be, you know, posted the same day that this episode will be out. It's called Even If, and it kind of like is a short version of what we talked about today. But if you want to ask her questions, you can feel free to go to our website and just email us on the contact page, and I'll make sure to get the questions over to her, and she can answer them back, and I can respond.
Yes, and I'm more than happy to connect. I would love to with anyone that reaches out. But just get in touch with Lydia, because social media is not the best way to find me. But I would love to hear from anyone who wants to reach out.
Yeah, and the website honestly is the best way, because I'm with the social media folks. Mm-hmm. You can't find me anyway.
So. Yeah, that's true.
But also another place where they can find you is in our upcoming issue, which is really exciting. Our spring issue will be centered on being kingdom-minded, living kingdom-minded. And you do a wonderful piece about the education system. Very thought-provoking, very well-researched for those who will see. And honestly, it actually helps me to remember, again, going back to the praying spirit of like praying for the children in our schools and for our kids who are going to enter into a public school system or even private school, like, you know, whatever school that they are in. I think that we definitely just need to continue praying, and also just pray against the evil that's being done right now in the schools, especially for young minds, that they're being brainwashed, in my opinion, by wrong ideologies.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just another way, you know, that like we talked about, that Satan is after the family unit, you know, after marriage, he's after children, in any way that he can get in the door, you know. So, and I think it's just good to be aware of things like that, because we can't pray against what we're not even aware of, you know. But I just want to say thank you so much for having me here today, and also just giving me the opportunity to write for you things that God has put on my heart. And so I'm just really grateful for that opportunity. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, it's God ordained.
He orchestrated it. Yeah. You know what's so funny is that actually I wasn't sure if I was going to go to that party or not. And then I was like, no, I think I should go. I'm so glad I did because that's the party that we met at. Yeah.
I don't even know where I would have met you otherwise. Yeah. Honestly, because we would have spent like two ships passing the night.
I know. Yeah.
So, yeah, praise God for his awesome timing and his will for us to meet and be friends and for you to share your talents in writing as well and your encouragement and wisdom to share. Because you do have that, and
I'm very kind. It's learned the hard way, though. You know, live and learn. But and I ask God for wisdom. I do, because I know that I need it. I don't have it in and of myself, and I ask God, and He says that we can if we need wisdom. Yes, and I'm still learning and growing, but I'm hoping and I'm praying that someone listening to this will be encouraged in some way.
Yeah, I think so too. That's my prayer as well. And so we're going to end our time right now with prayer from you, Lauren, for all the single ladies.
I want to break out in song now. All the single ladies. Yeah.
So, and as you're listening, please don't turn off this podcast yet. It's not over because we do want you to be a part of this prayer and knowing that we are thinking of you when we're praying, and we know the brokenness that can come sometimes from wanting something so badly, and the Lord has not yet answered that prayer, or if He may not answer it at all, that is hard truth and reality to grasp. But we know that, as Lauren said, that God is a good God. He's a good Father. He does not withhold any good gifts from us. But if He is, there's probably a reason. And also, there's the other reality that Jesus could come back tomorrow, and
right.
that is another. Yeah. You know, like we'll be.
Exactly. We won't even care that we're not married.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is a beautiful truth that we always have to cling to. So,
right.
All that being said, Lauren, please
away. I'd love to, before praying, just read a scripture over the audience. So it's from Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 26. It says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so, so very much for this opportunity to talk about you, to talk about your word, to talk about our love for you, Father. God, I just pray again over the audience, anyone who hears this. I pray, God, that you would encourage each and every single person listening to this, Father. I pray that you would speak to them whatever they need to hear, whether it's conviction, whether it's hope, God. God, give them peace, give them joy. For anyone who is single, give them contentment, Lord, in the season that they're in. Help them to find joy in it, God. And I just pray, God, that they would seek you and just being intentional in what you've called them to do in this season. God, I pray for any married people who may be listening, that you would help them to know how to best encourage their friends who may be single, Lord. I think that sometimes, not purposefully, but there's a little bit of a disconnect or a gap between marrieds and singles. But I just pray, God, that for maybe anyone who's married and wondering how to encourage a single friend, God, that you would use this to give them encouragement as well, Father. Lord, I pray against any schemes of the enemy coming against marriage, coming against family, coming against children. God, I pray that you would do a mighty work of bringing about godly marriages in mine and Lydia's generation. There's so many wonderful single people that long to be married, and that's a godly desire, and it's good, Lord. You created that. And I'm asking, God, that you would fulfill that desire for so many who are longing to be married, God. But I just pray ultimately that each and every one of us would be really honest with you about why we desire marriage. Do we want it to honor and glorify you, or do we want it for our own selfish gain and purposes? And God, I just pray that, yes, you would do a mighty work of bringing about godly marriages. But I just pray that you prepare our hearts for that as well, Lord. Thank you for how you're sanctifying our hearts, purifying our hearts in singleness for those of us who are single. We thank you that you're a good father. We thank you that we can trust you with our desires. We can come to you and be specific in our prayers. And it's just a joy and encouragement to look back to at things that we pray and to see how you answer, God, and how you do care about the details. And God, thank you that we can come to you in joy and sadness. We can share our joy with you, that on the days that we're struggling and it's hard and we feel lonely, we can bring that to you as well. And God, I just thank you that you are my ultimate provider and protector, like no man ever could be. As much as I long for marriage, I do trust you with that desire. But I just thank you that ultimately you are my protector and my provider. You're the guardian of our souls, Father. And God, I just pray that you would use this conversation to bring you honor, to bring you glory. Thank you again for using me. You know that apart from you, I'm not worthy to have this conversation. You know that I haven't dated perfectly, God, but I just thank you for your grace, that your grace is sufficient. And I just pray that you would use things that you've taught me, things that you've taught Lydia, to just be an encouragement to other people. God, thank you for each and every person who's listening. May they be encouraged to ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. It was really a joy.
Yeah, it's been, honestly, this is a huge blessing. So I hope that the listeners also know and are encouraged by that as well.
I hope so.
Thank you again, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Mm-hmm.
My heart was blessed as Lauren prayed us out today, and also just from this much-needed conversation for this generation on singleness, and I hope it blessed you as well. As we mentioned, Lauren has her blog on her website now called Even If, so be sure to check that out and contact us if you have any questions in regards to anything we talked about today. If you think that this episode might be a blessing for someone in your life, please share. Our hope, as always, with this podcast is to help others feel encouraged and learn how to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. And if you don't mind, please rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at Lids Summer. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.